Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I want to ask you a question here. Does that sound serious to you? That sounds serious. Hey, I'm going to charge you before God and his Son. I'm going to charge you to do what? Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm going to charge you to do what? To preach the word in this manner, in this particular manner. Today we live in a society and in a world that has lost the form and function of what we are supposed to be doing. As I was down south, somebody handed me a little booklet. It was a directory of all the regular Baptists down in that area. And it had certain names highlighted and certain names circled. And one had a star next to it. And on the back of it, it had how their meetings for the society, well, not society, but the convention ought to work when they get together. And here, have a look at this just to maybe educate you a little bit in how we do it. And I sat there and I thumbed through it. I said, well, where's the doctrine, brother? Where's the knowledge of the Word of God? Where's the truth in it? Well, we believe that these things are true. This is names, phone numbers, and addresses. This is telling me who's got this job, who's got this title, what church y'all meet in when you have your little meetings. It tells me nothing of the Word of God. I go, you handed me your address, brother. What's it supposed to teach me? I'm not looking to memorize names. I've got a hard enough time memorizing scripture. I don't need to memorize your names and your phone numbers. Maybe I'll tuck it aside just in case I get in trouble down here again. I need to figure out who's in charge of what and who's doing what. But I'll tell you this, it don't make no sense to me. There's people out there right now playing church. They're up there. They've got music playing for hours. And they'll sit there and they'll come out and they'll give you a little 15-minute Jesus loves you and I love you and that's the way it should be prayer. A little sermon. And then they'll sit down and you have another 20 minutes of the rock and roll. They have forgotten what a church ought to do and what a church ought to be. Preachers have forgotten what their job is. They are preachers. And yet today you see them no better than a book club leader, no better than someone giving a TED talk, no better than somebody giving a podcast about religion. We ought to preach the word. And then you get some people, they'll fight amongst themselves. Hey, should we preach expositorily? That's where I go from one end of the Bible to the other. And on Sunday morning, we're in the book of Mark. On Sunday evening, we're over here in Titus. On Wednesday night during our Bible study, we're over here in Genesis. I tell you what, if that's the way you preach, praise the Lord. But I tell you what, some people sit there and say, well, I like to focus on some topics. So I'll pick a topic and I'll look at a passage of scripture and I'll preach on that. And I say, hey, well, as long as you're preaching the word of God, praise God. That's what you ought to be doing. But they bicker and they fight. What should we be preaching? The word of God. Not the opinions or the thoughts of man. Not the I thinks, not the I believes. But what does the Bible say? That ought to be what we're preaching. Now why? Why should that be our charge? Why can't we just be a glorified, I just used the phrase, a glorified book group leader? Why can't I be that? Well, because there's more going on. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And here we are. They cannot endure sound doctrine. Hey, let me tell you about the doctrine of salvation. Well, that's just your opinion. Let me tell you about the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of hell. Let me teach you what the Bible says about these things. Well, you know, it's important to stay open-minded. Everybody's got their own opinion. They cannot endure sound doctrine today. There are people sitting under the name church that are so far removed from the doctrine of the church, it is a joke. It is almost as though somebody had heard about the idea of a church at one time or another and they fabricated it centuries later. It is a farce what is going out there today. Why? Because people cannot endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me it's okay to drink. Tell me it's okay to smoke. Tell me my music's okay. Tell me my entertainment's all right. Tell me my relationship is good. Tell me my promiscuity ain't all that bad. Tell me I am right and have no need for a salvation. But tell me of a God who loves me anyway. Tell me of a God who will sit there and acknowledge the off-the-wall gender that I have chosen for myself. Tell me I'm right. Tell me how good I am. Tell me God loves me, but don't tell me what God needs me to do. Verse 4, for they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, typically, when I think of fables, I think of, you know, the Briar Rabbit, Humpty Dumpty, you know, the Emperor's New Clothes. That's what I think of. Those old-fashioned tales, Cinderella, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, fables. We got whole brand new fables today, except we call them philosophies. And if you'd ask too many questions about them, those stories, they fall apart, but the people who believe in those fallacies, they're not able to defend them. So all they do is insult you back. They get angry. They get mad. And I've known some Christians who know so little scripture that that's how they are. They believe in God as though it is some kind of social club. They can't defend the doctrine. So they devolve into name calling. My friends, we ought to know doctrine. While the world is turning its ears away and listening to fables, you and I, we ought to know the truth and be able to defend the truth and be able to stand on the truth. This is what it says about the church. This is what it says about heaven. This is what it says about hell. Let me tell you what the Bible says. You ever do that? These are the kind of debates I like to have with people. I'll turn the Bible around and say, you go ahead and you show me where that is. Well, Dr. So-and-so, we'll get Dr. So-and-so over here. He can show me. If you don't know, give me Dr. So-and-so. What's the name of that book? Let's see if he gave you a verse quotation on this. Let's see what he's got. Because I got 12 or 11 over here. They'll tell you different. Got into a conversation with somebody about the rapture. Will it happen before the tribulation or after? I've got a book sitting on my shelf. 100 reasons for a pre-tribulation rapture. And you know what those reasons were always backed up by? Scripture. 100 pieces of scripture to talk about how the rapture will take place before the tribulation. But yet there are still people out there going, well, I bought a book and it explained it really well to me. Let's get it together. Where's my doctrine? Where's my source of doctrine? Is it Dr. So-and-so? Is it a book that was written by this person or that person? No. The only book I care about is this one right here. And brother, if you're talking to me about doctrine, you better be using this book. Because I don't buy it otherwise. You know how many times I've picked up a book, gone through and it's explained something to me, but it couldn't bring any scripture into it? You know what you do with a book like that? I've probably read thousands of books in my life. I only keep a couple hundred. Why? Because I like the books I can hang around, and if ever I'm looking for specific verses for things, I can go back, grab it down, look at it. Okay, that's the verse. Go back to the book, study this book, study that out from there. Hey, praise the Lord, there it is. I see where you're talking to me, Lord. I see what you're saying about this subject. I love that. If you can't talk to me doctrine through scripture, I don't want to hear your fables. I don't want to hear your stories. You give me what the book says. As we continue on with our reading, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this is where I'd like to center on. In a world that no longer endures sound doctrine, in a world where you look at it and you turn on the news, you hear people talk about what's going on in society today, you kind of want to sit there and go, okay, someone's making this up, right? You ever see those, was that on the news recently, that big old fancy dinner or whatever it is that they had over there in Hollywood, where they had all gussied up? You're looking at some of those pictures and you go, now come on, nobody does that. Nobody dresses like that. Who goes to a serious dinner dressed like, that's ridiculous. Here we are. Here we are, man. Right? Oh, what are you? We talk about transgenderism. Now you're making that up, man. There ain't nobody out there think they're a cat. That ain't true. Nobody out there thinks this. Nobody thinks that that's an actual. We've completely lost the argument here. I mean, what's going on here? Oh, no. It's serious. In a world that'll sit there and you've got people out there, oh, no, God created many genders and God's okay with homosexuality. You ain't read this book, man. We've gone to a world that cannot endure sound doctrine. What do you think Christ meant when it says a man and a woman shall leave and cleave together? What do you think he meant by that? Well, you got to be more abstract. No, you don't. Simple instructions, solid instructions are what we go by. We got to be precise. Because my friends, we are living in a world that is ignoring a lot of their problems, and those problems are directly results of the things that we are allowing in society today. It is a farce and a joke. It is scary to look at this world. So my friends, what should we as God's true church do? What should we do? We should follow verse 5. And number 1, watch thou in all things. Watch. We've used this point a lot. Why? Because the Bible tells us to watch a lot. The exhortation to watch and be mindful of the things around us is a constant direction from the Bible. God has told His people in many ways to watch. And if we're not watching, we're going to get in trouble. We need to watch what's going on around us. Now, I've said this before. Don't get lost in what's going on around you. Don't despair in what's going on around you. Right? We are like the disciples. The wind and the waves are whipping up around us, and the boat is starting to rock. But don't you ever forget the master's in the boat. Master's in the boat. But you got to be mindful. Mindful of the things around you. Many of us, we've got the ability to see something and not see the heart behind it. When Danielle and I, we went out on our honeymoon. As we were walking down the street, a guy stepped out in front of us. Hey, you guys are a cute couple. You guys just get married? Yeah, how'd you know? Well, I tell you what, I'd like to provide a dinner for you guys. Oh, how very nice. How very nice. But now my salesman senses were tingling. Right? All right, well, why do I get a free dinner? What's going on? Sure enough, and you probably already know what it is. You're on vacation. Somebody sees a young couple. They look like they've got a little money in their pocket. So, hey, let's have a conversation with them about what? About this little property you can maybe rent. You know, I can't remember the name of it now. Timeshare. You can come rent this timeshare. All you need is all this money and our permission to use that property when the time comes. You can pick all these different properties during these dates and times and blah, blah, blah. And if you got a timeshare, I'm not here to pick on you. But I'll tell you this, if you're 22 years old, you don't need to put the money towards a timeshare. It just don't make no sense. It is a financial trap at particular points in your life. When you're first starting off in life and when you're closing up your affairs, those are bad times to have a timeshare. I'm just saying. Financially, it's a little irresponsible. It's a trap. You know how I knew? You know how I? Because he's using all the salesman tactics I learned to sell dog training classes. I was reading books on sales. I was reading this and that. I looked at the way he was dressed. I looked at the smile on his face. I looked how quickly he wanted to become my friend. Salesman, I got you. Even as a young person, I got him pecked. Many of us, we can look at things and not quite understand the damage to it. Let's talk about that TV show that's just a little on the side that you pay attention to. You need to be mindful of what it's doing to you. What about that relationship with that one person that's getting a little too close, a little too uncomfortable for the vows that you made? You need to be mindful of it. You need to be respectful of the promises and the demands and the directions of God. We need to be particular in our decision making, and you can't be particular in that decision making if you don't know what you're participating in, if you don't know what you're looking at. You got to know what you're looking at. And I'll tell you what, you want to know the difference between sin and something that's solid, you need this book. And you need as much of this book as you can. The more familiar you are with this book, the more familiar you'll be with the mind of God. And the more familiar you are with that, the easier you'll be able to tell the difference between what's good and what's bad. I've used that illustration before, right? How is it that the Canadian Mounties are taught how to tell counterfeit from real? They make them count the real. Make them count the real. And after a while, you so get to know the texture, the look, and the feel of it, you could tell a bad note when you got it in your hand. We need to be so familiar with the Word of God, we can tell when we got a lie in our hands. We could tell when there ain't something quite right in our hands. I was coming down off the mountain. And been there most of the morning. And I was coming down. I was kind of looking for a place to stop. And I saw on the one side an Anabaptist church. And between the Anabaptist church and another building, there was a printing shop. And I go, oh. And as I went through, it's called the, I think it was called the Rod and the Lamb or something like that. And I go, oh, sounds like a Christian print shop. That sounds pretty good. And I came up and there was the store over on the other side, right up on the other side of the hill. So I stopped. I went up that hill. I walked in there, and you got to understand, I'm coming down off of this thing, and I've got a blue shirt on, my dark blue shirt on, my black pants on, pair of suspenders. Got my beard. The only thing that looks a little weird about me is this haircut I got. I walk in, there's another fellow sitting behind the desk, dressed almost exactly the same way, but his shirt's white. Beard. Young guy comes out without a beard. He's got a different color shirt on. He's got more of a reddish shirt on, maroon. But we're all the same way. Black pants, suspenders, here we are. Shirt's buttoned all the way up. And I go, can I take a look through your bookshop? Oh, yes, sir, please go ahead. Went through. I found a couple good books in there, real nice. I found some cards in there, too. Everything I touched in there, KJV. Can you believe that? Some of you who buy cards, everything was KJV, and they had a big selection. I go, how do you have this? Well, sir, we printed ourselves. And I kind of noticed that I'm up here, and he's right here. And of course, we're out in Kentucky, so they talk slow, but he's talking slower than Kentucky. And I'm like, oh, I finally ask after I'm poking around, I go, hey, are you Mennonite? He goes, yes, sir, I am. Oh, okay. And we talked doctrine for a little while. We talked the Bible. We weren't quite right. We weren't quite on the same page. But there was a lot of similarities. We get in trouble when there's a lot of similarities. We do. Well, you're kind of like us. Well, you kind of remind me of that. You know what the cutting line is? Not my opinion, nor my training or my college teaching, whatever. This is the dividing line. This decides who is right and who is wrong. And more importantly, we all need to get a little closer to right with this book. Understood? I tell you what, whether he was right or I was right, it didn't matter. The Word of God was right. And we both need to get into the Word of God and get right. Well, actually, what I told him, I said, well, I tell you what, keep studying, brother. You'll come a little closer my way. I didn't make apologies. I don't make apologies. I just come my way a little bit. You read the Word of God, you'll be here. Listen, we need this Bible to tell us about the world around us. Well, that's an old book. It don't understand what's going on today. It does. And that's the point. We think everybody 200, 300 years back ago were all cave trolls and Neanderthals. There was intelligence thousands of years ago. Just because they don't agree with some of the tomfoolery we're doing today does not mean that they weren't aware of the tomfoolery we got going on today. That's why the Word of God was there, to stop this menagerie of foolishness from coming into our society. There have been societies who have lived like this on and off again for as long as there has been mankind. As a matter of fact, the world would be excited at how liberal and open-minded they were before God sent the flood down to wash them all out. Oh, what a wonderful place you could be, where you can't even have an angel come over to the house for the fear that the whole group, the whole town would want to come on over and do something despicable to them. That is evil continually. And that was long after the flood. Could you just imagine how bad things were then? That as bad as they got there in Sodom and Gomorrah, they still weren't as bad as the days of Noah. I mean, come on. We sit there, we think that we were all Puritans and godly before the revolutions of the 60s. We had no idea the level of sinful attitude that we are capable of. These are not new things. We need the Word of God to understand what is happening today, because it is the only thing willing to talk to us about it. And I'll tell you this, I trust the author. I trust the author. We have to have a solid understanding of what it is we are looking at, because some, they don't know. Some can't see what's going on. And some, even though they know what's going on, they have no response to what's going on. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, some of us, we've got food stashed aside. We've got supplies stashed aside on the off chance that we can't find them anymore, right? But I tell you what, that really rocked me when COVID hit. You go to the store, there's no chicken. Go to the store, there's no pork down there. People just buying stuff up and storing it. We had a hard time getting basic necessities. You know, I sat there, I told myself, never again. I'm going to have some stuff stashed aside. But as we look at spiritual problems today, many of us, we don't have a response to it, right? We don't have a way to counteract that. Like if I sit there and I would ask, raise your hand if you trust. You know, I'll do it, because I don't think, do you trust the common everyday media today? Better pop your hand if you trust media today. Of course you don't. But we still watch it. We still spend hours in front of it. Maybe you're sitting there going, and I can tell some of you in the face, no, I don't. Praise the Lord. We ought to be careful, mindful. Hey, why would I do? Why would I mess around with something? You know, there's a lot of people that keep those poisonous reptiles as pets. And they go, no, it's okay. I've got gloves and I've got a little stick and everything's fine. And we've kept them for years and never had a problem. That don't change the fact that that thing's venomous. That don't change the fact that that thing could get out. Right? We had that problem before. Somebody had abandoned their home, didn't send us any messages, didn't say anything. So we did an occupancy check. We would do that. Knocked on that door. There was nobody there. Power was out. As we'd go through, we saw all these cages. One of them was a giant rabbit hutch. You've seen those, right? Like this. It had a snake in it. Big old python. I ain't worried too much about a python. He stays in there. I stay out here. I get a couple pictures. It's a good day. But there were many other cages and vessels. Some of them were empty. And you got to ask yourself, why? Was it valuable and it got to go with him? Or was it an escape? So you know what we did? We hot-footed out of there. It was me and this other guy, Matt, is down there at Newport. We hot-footed it out of there until we could get animal control to go in and walk through to see what was alive, what wasn't, and what was free range, right? I'm out of here. Man, we saw so much stuff in those days. But I tell you what, when we recognized the danger, we got out. When you recognize the danger of the things you're participating in, or you recognize the danger of the things that are going on around you, do you have the good sense to get out? Do you have the good sense to say, hey, this ain't Bible, so this ain't for me? That needs to be where we stand with things. We need to know what it is that we're looking at. And there's no better way to determine what we're looking at than through the filter of Scripture. The next part of this verse says, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Well, what kind of afflictions do we face? We're going to get some pushback. We're going to get some pushback. I firmly believe, and I can't prove it, but the more I talk to people, the more of the opinion I get. As I was up giving a sermon, there was another man behind me. I didn't see him, but he was waiting to preach after I was done. They were the consensus was they were concerned of what kind of a preacher I was and whether or not I would preach the gospel. They were a little concerned. So they brought this guy up after me. And now who they are, I don't know. But he goes, well, you know, some of the family asked that I be here to blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm not insulted. You didn't tell me you were there, you know. And you get pushback. Well, you're not a regular Baptist, so we want to make sure. Hey, I tell you what, if I'm trying to determine whether a preacher is good or bad, how do I do that? Do I look at their title? Oh, that's reverend. Oh, father. No, not you. And that's a good way. But what if we're all pastor? How do I tell the difference between a good Baptist and a bad Baptist? How about that? You already know. Where do you stand on this book, brother? Let's talk about this doctrine from Scripture. Where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on that? Well, you're not a part of the association. I wouldn't want to be a part of your association. You need to repent of that. And I'll show you why. I even offered one guy, I said, hey, listen, I just preached a message on that. I got a ton of notes. Give me your email address. I'll send it to you. He didn't give me his email address. Weird. I took the book, but nobody wanted to take my notes. Isn't that weird? Some of us are afraid of information. Others aren't. I don't know. See, I can tell you that's wrong. By this book. Right? We need to endure some afflictions. Hey, we don't agree with that way of thinking anymore. And I'll tell you what, if you don't come around to our side, this will happen and that will happen and your kids won't talk to you and this will happen and all, you'll lose your business and this and that. I believe that too strongly to compromise on it. I would sooner lose the oxygen in my lungs than surrender the Word of God to my heart. There ain't no life without the Word of God. There ain't no life without standing for it and doing what we're supposed to do. If we're not out serving the Lord, we are not living to our fullest potential. We cannot soften on the things of God. We cannot come down. We cannot compromise. We cannot begin to empathize with sin. Sin is a treacherous thing. The devil, he is the father of lies. And he has got a lot of people believing these lies. And just because they're caught up on it and they believe that they can make life uncomfortable for us does not mean we compromise. The Word of God says what it says. It ain't up to me to soften on it. It's what it says. It is where I will stand. So don't soften. Oh, please. Please do not change. Don't change. You know, I've changed a little bit since I've come here. You know what I mean? I've stopped wearing suits and ties all the time. I hope you don't get mad at me of that. I still wear them. You know I like them. Still got them. Still wear them. But I don't always wear them the way I used to. I've changed a little bit. You know, I've changed my habits too. I don't go here. I go there. But you know where I haven't changed? On the Word of God. I haven't changed. I'll go back through some of my old sermons, go back through some of my old notes, and you know what I found? The Word of God hasn't changed either, and neither have I. Oh, I've grown, I've learned more, but this Bible, as long as it don't change, I'm not going to change. I may get better, I may get worse, but the beliefs are the beliefs. because they exist outside of me. And it's up to me to remember that as I do change and I do fail the word of God, people around me will look at that failure and they'll blame it on God. I don't know why. I don't know what would possess a human being, even as carnal-minded as we can get, would look at a failed Christian and say, well, that's what God is. How foolish. I tell you what, I've known some bums in my day. I've known some bad Christians in my day. I've known some bad pastors in my day. And I have never once looked at them and said, oh, that's what God is. I'm glad they're not God. I'm glad you and I are not Him. We are fallible. We are weak. But He is strong. You know, again, going back to that question, well, was it a good trip? No. Everything go all right? No. But what it showed was the weaknesses that we had as people. But you know what it put even more light on? The strength of God. The blessings of God. Is that not what He said? In your weaknesses, you'll see my strength. And I'll tell you what, that's what I've seen this week. I've said it before, I'll say it the rest of my life. My God has never failed me. Men have failed me left and right. People have failed me all day long. Sometimes a yea isn't yea and a nay isn't nay. And that'll cause trouble. Sometimes somebody you put your trust in will turn out to be some kind of a dirtbag. Hey, that will happen with people. But my God is who He says He is. And He does not change. Therefore, I ought not change. And I'll tell you this, no matter which way the wind blows, no matter how hard life gets, no matter how hard it is to stand with the faith that you have, don't you dare quit. Because it doesn't matter who unfriends you on Facebook. It doesn't matter if they cancel your Twitter. It doesn't matter if people don't want to come to your barbecue. None of that matters in the grand scheme of things. What'll matter, and what does matter, is the fact that when all of Jerusalem was sitting there picking and nagging on Christ, when they brought Him in under these trumped up charges, when they made up these lies about Him, when they slapped Him in the face, when they put those stripes on His back, when they paraded Him around naked, when they beat Him in the face, when they put that crown of thorns on Him, when they made Him carry the cross, when they nailed Him to the thing, when they crucified Him, He didn't quit. That's what matters to me. That's what matters to me. If my devotion to God makes you not like me, well, I tell you what, that's a lot less of an investment than the one who died on the cross to save me. That's an easy choice. That's an easy choice. They'll even say to you, you gotta get over yourself. I've heard that a lot from folks. You gotta get over yourself. Oh, I ain't got no problem getting over myself. It's getting over Christ I'm having a hard time with. That's why. That's why I won't buy booze for you. That's why I won't drop you off a pack of cigarettes. That's why I won't sit here and listen to you talk nasty about those ladies that walked by you. That's why I won't sit here and listen to your jokes. That's why I won't come over to the bar with you. That's why I won't do those things, because I've gotten over myself a long time ago. It is Christ I can't get over. That is where we stand. I ain't going to quit on Him. He didn't quit on me. On a Sunday, so you want to quit on me? He went all the way for me knowing I'd do nothing but embarrass Him. That's an easy choice. That is an easy choice. Don't quit. What else does it say? Do the work of an evangelist. Do you know you got a job? You hear a lot of people say, well, I'm a member of the church, but I ain't got any jobs there. You know, I don't do anything there. I don't have a title. You're a soul winner. That's what you are. Are you good at your job? You're bad at your job. Do you even show up to your job? I was watching something. There was a prosecutor. I can't remember what city she was in, but it was a bigger city. And there was an 11-year-old boy who got shot. And he didn't die, but he was greatly wounded. They go to put on trial the guy that shot him. The prosecuting attorney didn't show up. No one from her office showed up. Now, you know what happens when the prosecuting attorney doesn't show up to a trial? It's potential they let that guy loose. So they held a contempt hearing for that prosecutor and for the person who was supposed to show up. Guess what? She wasn't there. The assistant wasn't there. They sent two lower level attorneys to go in there and answer for them. Does that bother you? Can't even show. Not only did you potentially let this guy loose, but you didn't even show up to the trial about you not showing up to the trial. You care so little. Does that bother you? That bothers me. Bothers me. Now, what about us? We got a job. Now, hold on, brother. Doctrine of election, and the Lord will say, listen, what did he leave you here for? Huh? Do you think God left his people here because there is a national overage of fried chicken? Do you think that we've got a problem with keeping pews buckled to the floor without you weighing them down? What do you think we're here for? But to serve him. And the house is full, but the fields are empty. Don't you sit there and decide your level of service to the Lord based on the doctrine of election. His word to you was go. His word to you was go. So what manner of evangelist are we? What manner of soul winner are we that we would not do that? It's like somebody asking me to come by, hey, would you come and speak to us? And me as a pastor, I don't give the gospel. Should I not preach the gospel in everything that I do? One would assume so. Now, I try to slip that in as much as I can. And I know for a fact you all have heard it before. But guess what? Come the next sermon, I'm likely to slip it in again. Why? Because that is our job. To preach the gospel. And now, what else does an evangelist do? Not just preach the gospel, but establishes God's people. What do you do to establish God's people? Are you an encourager? Are you a lover of God's people? Are you somebody who is willing to help and be there for them? Someone willing to put the effort into the church? Not just the people, but the building as well. Oh, we've had projects and things done, and I praise the Lord for you people, but we cannot fail. We cannot stop serving him. We must serve the Lord in doing the work of an evangelist. Not just giving the gospel, but being there for people. So much of our problems as true Baptists came from 20, 30, 40 years ago, not properly educating people. All it was this is the doctrine and you believe it because I say so. This is the doctrine and you believe it because your church says so. But there was very few people in the church that could sit there and give book, chapter, verse for their beliefs. We ought to be able to do it. I used to have kids, sixth grade kids, that could sit there and talk about Bible doctrine. It is not difficult for us to grasp and hold on to. It's not. We just need to put the effort in to educate, to learn. Why do I believe? Because I'll tell you this, when the hard times come, when the afflictions come, and you know why you believe what you believe, you'll be rooted in deeper than anything else. Rooted in deeper, because I see it now. It's not just mommy and daddy's religion. It's not just grandma and grandpa's religion. It's not just the religion of my church, nor the religion of my pastor. I see where it is. I look out in this world, and it makes all the sense to me. It ought to make sense to us that way. We ought to be able to teach, as well as preach, good doctrine. We must do the work of an evangelist, preaching the gospel and building the church. Now, building comes in different things, right? There's the main construction of it. Then there's the maintaining of it. You know, we've got some projects this year. I'd like to see the steeple up there painted. Really want to see that fellowship hall painted. And we got some dirt, some rocks, some things we're doing. Why? Keep up the building. Just like you keep up the building, the people, the members of the actual church. Because remember, the building's not the church, it's the people. The people need consistent building. We need encouragement. Sometimes wear and tear happens, right? You come back from a hard week, be it of an emotional nature or a laborious one, it doesn't matter. You come back, you're beat up. What do you need? You need a little restoration. Spiritually, there's going to be times where you need restoration. Spiritually, there's going to be times when people around you need a little bit of maintenance. So what do? We're here for each other. We're here. You know, we want to be able to be that encouragement. And sometimes the best encouragement we can be is just to be here for each other, to be a reminder of what godliness is. We must do the work of an evangelist. Finally, it says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what? There's a lot of ministries out there when they're tried. A lot of ones where the hard times come or something happens. And you know what you'll just see? You'll see that it ain't full proof. It's not good. You put it under trial and it cracks and it breaks and it's no good. We're very particular when we purchase things, aren't we? We like name brands of things. Counterfeiting is a very big industry in this planet. You know, you go to other places and you'll find super expensive bags and shoes and sunglasses. You go down to D.C., and I remember when they took us down to D.C. in the eighth grade, one of the things that the tour guides told us, hey, listen, you're going to see a lot of Oakley sunglasses. They are not Oakley sunglasses. Don't buy them. You're going to see some Rolex watches. Don't buy them. They wait for kids like you to come in, give them $20 for a Rolex. By the time you get home, that thing won't work and the paint will have chipped off. Well, one or two people didn't believe them because it says Rolex. It looks good. And in your eighth grade mind, it sure seems all right. So they buy it. Guess what? Didn't work for the rest of the trip. Worked that day, didn't work for the rest of the trip. Probably by the time they got home, their parents gave them a good working over. Counterfeit's a problem. A lot of counterfeit Christians today. Well, how can you tell they're counterfeit? Well, they've got a song in their throat and sin in their heart. They got the hair done good. They got the good clothes on. They look good. But they're wicked sinners at home. With one voice, they sing praises to God. With another, they deny Him on a Monday morning. That is a counterfeit Christian. That is somebody who is good on the outside, but as Jesus said, wicked, like an old sepulcher on the inside, filled with bones. What we have to do is we have to be the genuine article, and we have to prove that genuine article. Listen, I believe that God changes a person inside and out when He saves them. I preach that, right? Brother Dennis, he got up, he gave that devotion this morning, very much reminding us what God can do with our testimony. And I sat there this morning in the back, praising the Lord for the power that He has had on Brother Dennis's life and the power He's had on my life and the power He's had on your life, because that's what God can do. I preach it. I believe it. I'm encouraged by it this morning. But how faulty it is to preach that and not be changed and still act the same and commit sin and have a bad name out in the community. It is a slap to the face of God when we pretend that we are His people, but we act differently around others. We should be better than that. We should be wiser than that, more disciplined than that. In order to make full proof our ministry, we must have integrity. Integrity. That is strength from within. It involves a lot of self-discipline. And what should be the source of my self-discipline? What is the ruler in which I discipline myself up against? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know, many of you, you're putting in tomato plants. What do you do with a tomato vine? What do you do with it? You let it grow on the ground? No. You train it to go up, right? You wrap it around something. Hey, what about this? What if you had a tomato vine that was doing real good? Would you latch another tomato vine to it? No. What would you attach it to? Back to that same structure, right? You'd never trust the strength of one, right? Because you've already got it attached to a structure enough for you to attach another vine to it. So why should we as Christians put our faith and trust in other people? Well, if so-and-so is doing it, it's got to be okay. No, no. This is the structure I'm attached to. This is what gives me my integrity. How well I am sticking to this book. That's why Paul said, preach the what? Preach the word. Preach the word. Why? Because that is what will give us integrity. We must live by the word of God from sun up to sundown. When we rise in the middle of the night, we must have with us our integrity. I'll get up in the morning, and if I've got to check things out at night, I've got to bring these with me. Well, there's three things I bring with me if I got to go check things out at night, right? If somebody's making noise or I hear something from outside, there's three things I bring with me. My glasses, I go wake up Hans, and then I've got a little thing I carry with me, right? Always have those. When I get up, it is the Word of God. When I go out, it is the Word of God. I must abide by it in all things. And sure, I'll fail. Sure, there'll be mistakes, but I ought not plan to make mistakes. I ought not give room to have mistakes. I ought to keep my integrity. How about this? What about sincerity? I hate an insincere Christian. Some people, they put on that Christianese. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, brother. You know, I came over from the Holy Rollers. And blah, blah, blah. They'll sit there. They'll lace their conversation with all manner of spiritual words. But those words have no meaning. You know, we were talking to a contractor one time, and, you know, you could tell just how he lived his life, you know. A Budweiser thing on his truck, pack of cigarettes in his pocket, sitting there cussing somebody out on the phone as he's walking up. Closes the phone. Hey, brethren, how are you? Now, come on. Those words you just used are not fit for the place where you're sitting on. And we're down at Flat Rock, and I'm just sitting there, and as he's cussing, I'm looking over at my pastor going, oh, boy. Here we go. And sure enough, there it was. Hey, praise God. I tell you what, we'll get you a quote, and don't believe me, we'll take care of the people of God around here, blah, 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 blah. There's no sincerity in that. Go ahead and tell people about how things went at church. Go ahead and tell people about how you read the Bible and you do this and you do that. But if there is no sincerity in your heart, believe you me, my friend, people will pick up on it. Our insincerity has a smell to it. You got to be true to God all the way through you. Or else we will sit there and counteract. We will take apart everything we are trying to build. We'll watch the kids every now and then. Whenever you got a toddler in the house, and you've got some older kids in the house, you'll probably have this situation. The older kids will be building on something. We have Legos. We got blocks. We got these giant, you guys know what those little waffle blocks were, right? They kind of laced into each other like this, and you could build little boxes with them. We've got big ones. They're about a foot and a half long each. Big ones you can build with in the backyard. There'll be an older kid out there building with them. Here comes Melody. Boom. Gideon gets all mad. Daddy! I said, well, son, let me remind you, when Caspian was doing this, you'd come over and boom, and he'd go, Daddy! And guess what? When Xander was building, it was always Caspian when he was little. Just boom. Whenever you got a toddler, toddler's got to tear things down wherever you're building things up. Right? Danielle will sit there. She'll be folding laundry. Fold that big old stack of laundry. You better believe there's a couple feet come rushing on over to start kicking all the piles over like Godzilla, right? Your insincerity will tear down while you build. Your insincerity will say awful things about your Heavenly Father. Your insincerity will say horrible things about your Savior. You need to be true to God in your love, in your motives, and in your intentions. And there ought not just to be integrity and sincerity in our ministry, but there ought to be a level of intensity. a level of intensity that brings about consistency and strength. That's what that intensity are, those two things put together. Strength with consistency. I'm tired of Christians that peter out. I'm tired of Christians that'll claim that they love the Lord, but there's no evidence, there's no fruit. It is a barren land, or as we talked about this morning, it is filled with weeds who have a desire. No, I'm not doing that. Why? Because that wouldn't please God. Absolutely not. I'm not talking about a strictness or a meanness to them, but just a dogged excitement and zeal to make sure that the things of God are being done right. I love that. Absolutely love it. Because there are churches out there right now. The church is trying to get some stuff together, trying to do something, and everybody hems and they haws. And, well, you didn't like the time I wanted to paint this blue, so I ain't going to help you when you want new carpet and blah, 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 blah. We didn't have an intensity. This is the Lord's house. Let's get it done. I like the way we do things here. There is this desire to see God's will done. There is a desire to please the Lord all the way throughout. That is the level of intensity we need. But we need that level of intensity in every aspect of ministry, whether it is comfortable or not. We cannot fit in. I'm going to say that again. We cannot fit into this world. And if we do, there is a problem. Right? You ever see those little shape peg little games? You put the square in the square, the star in the star. And for whatever reason, the square won't go into the triangle, right? I saw somebody sat there, they were making a funny video about it. Well, sure it can. You just got it. And they took a hammer and they bashed the thing in. Sit there, you look at that thing, it's ruined. You are a child of God, a brand new creation, something that God has remade. When you try to fit back into a worldly perspective, you got to break to get in there. You understand? Because you're different. You may want to go back through that way, but you can't think that way. You can't do those things. You've got salvation. You've been exposed to the truth. You need to act like a Christian should act. And in a world that does not endure sound doctrine, that clamors for people to scratch at their ears and make them feel nice, and they'll sit there and they want fables. They want to feel good. Hey, tell me wonderful stories about myself. Right? What is it, those horoscopes? I don't know if people still go by the horoscopes anymore. People still introduce themselves by their signs anymore. But I made somebody really upset at me one time. Well, I am a Leo. Okay, so I've got certain personality characteristics because of the way the stars were aligned on the day I was born. Me and everybody else that was born that month. They looked at me. What? Everybody born during that stretch of 30 some odd days have the same personality characteristics? Like what? Well, stubborn, brave, honest. Go, those are random things. I could ask anybody if they feel that way. They would say, oh yeah, I've definitely got that qualification. Right? They're not telling you the future. They're telling you flattering things. And you want to see that characteristic in you. So you see that characteristic in you. Why? Because we've all got a little bit of that characteristic in you. Well, do you sometimes have a hard time getting up in the morning? Raise your hand if you sometimes you get up and you feel like you want to stay in bed. Go ahead. All right. You were born under such and such a star, and we all go, oh, fables. We want to believe those fables. Make me feel special by these fables. No, I now know the truth. And as the scripture says, the truth sets me free. I don't have to keep looking for new teachers to scratch at these ears. I don't have to find new fables to make me feel special. You know what I need? I need forgiveness. I need to know what to do to avoid me making messes. And I need to honor God. I need to find out how to serve God. We find all those things through what? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. So you know what? In this day and age, it does us no good to soften or to change or to quit. Let us be just as particular as Paul told Timothy to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, just the chance to be here in your house. Lord, we know that there are some at home right now, some out in the parking lot that wish they could be here. Lord, I pray that you be with them, that Lord, you heal them, give them what they need. Lord, be with us. Help us to be found steadfast in your service when your son comes for us. Lord, help us to stand in this day. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the teachers that will come by and tell us pleasant things. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the fables and the stories that people believe today. But Lord, help us to cling to your word. Lord, live in the truth. Father, I pray this, that if there be any under the sound of my voice that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon them, that, Lord, you save their souls today. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.